Coming to you live from the Orbital Command account today. It has been a red hot minute since I was last in Twitter space. Firing, couple that with a pretty boring crypto market overall, and you blame me for not being around. But so that's going to change. We have YFD who are going to be on the call discussing some exciting news about a token generation event. And more, and as this unfolds, what I will do is start it off by sharing the space in our Orbital Command Discord, which you should be jumping into if you've never used it. We have amazing resources there to help educate you on all things Terra, Cosmos, Validaton. And so if you're not in there, Orbital Command Discord link is in our Linktree account. Now, the guests of today will be Crash, they will be Ray, and they will be Dr. Queen, I think. I think we've got three guys. I'm going to bring up Crash for a second, and what we'll do is we'll just kill a little bit of time while I'm sharing the space. Pack some people into the room so that we can have some eager ears for the listening of this. Invite Crash up. Right to co-host Crash, I'm sending you an invite. Co-host, you should receive that in just a moment. Hopefully, we have a space without any Twitter glitches today.
Hello, hello. Hey, how's it going? I can barely hear you. Let me see if I can fix. Let me have some sound. Oh, there we go.
Let's see what's going on. Give me 1 second. I realize what's happening here. I've got my Bluetooth headphones connected. I'm going to disconnect those.
Okay.
And now I'm going to talk through my regular headphones. Is that better?
Hey, that is 100% better.
Okay, so could you hear anything I said before that?
I could, but it was very quiet. I thought it was something going on with my connection because that does happen. So it wasn't noticeably quiet to where I didn't think it was just a typical space issue. So
yeah, right. Okay. No, I had my I've got a pair of Sony Bluetooth headphones, and they were sitting on my they're sitting about a meter away from me. And even though I've got my regular corded headphones plugged in, it wasn't coming through the corded mic. It was coming through my Bluetooth headphones. So that aside, I'm going to jump into our Discord real quick and just drop a little reminder down there. Feel free to also share this in your
one. Yep, I will do the same.
Doing the thing. Here we go. Little command. Here we go. Announcements. That's the one I want.
Ready? All right.
YFD. Now. Okay, that one can go there. Okay. Are you sure you want to mention 1,600 people? Yes, go. Let's see what happens. That is there. And then this will get sent into the Orbital Command Telegram as well, courtesy of Edwin. And my question to you, sir, is, well, first and foremost, how are you going?
It's going good.
Yeah.
All things considered, you can't complain. I feel a little bit anytime I have to do the at everyone. I use those powers so sparingly these days, and I feel a little bit like I'm summoning, ancient warriors back to the Discord sort of a vibe. It's a little dead lately, but it's good to be getting this project actually out there and just actually, I mean, I think there's quite a few in the spaces that have been just continuing to build, and seems like people are ready to, you know, it's a good time to build stuff. And, you know, I think when you're not at the euphoria of, you know, the markets and everything going up or even going down, it's just kind of with this continued sideways to down sort of action, you know, like I think there's room for focusing on like what people actually will find useful and just solving problems, which is kind of where we're at, you know, instead of waiting for forever for a bull market to come back, you know, let's put it out, you know, get the project out there and let's get going. But
yeah,
I'm doing good.
Yeah. I'm curious to know your thoughts. You just said that the market's been going sideways for a little while and all the rest, but what's your general idea on how the next sort of 12 months or so play out? Do you think we're going to have a bit of a run up leading up to the halving? Do you think that the powers that be, you know, the regulatory bodies, the SEC and everyone else that's trying to suppress crypto in different ways at the moment, do you think they're going to continue, I don't know if I'd say winning the fight, but continue having some sort of advantage?
It's hard to tell, and I hesitate to make any sort of bullish call because I haven't had a great history of making those calls. It's like someone's listening and decides to have things do the opposite whenever I say anything like that. But I do think it's kind of overdone at this point, but we are so early. And I mean, I really do look at any sort of like dip as just buying opportunities for like those few holdings that I believe in long term, and I think that they're going to be around for the long term. And maybe it's naive, but I do believe in the long term, you know, kind of stability, staying power of, you know, Bitcoin, of like the crypto space overall. Like, it's not going to be crushed. It's not going anywhere. And contrary to that, if it is crushed, you know, like I want to be building in this space, then I want to be like, you got to go where the optimism is. And I think the alternative is, you know, that's a world that's going to be hard to live in. So like, why don't we build the world that we want to see essentially and kind of focus on that. So
nice bit of hope in there. I like the optimism. It's been a little while since I've really felt a great sense of optimism about the state of crypto, but you know, it can turn around just so quickly, and I think there are certain narratives which will help drive the next leg up. But I think a lot of it is just currently hinging on the uncertainty and the ambiguity of the regulation side of things, and now it's just, yeah, I think people have been burnt a couple of times, you know. We've had, what, 3 bull runs at this point. And so there's, of course, the euphoria that comes along with that. And then you have those who time it well and get out and have absolutely made life-changing gains and feel on top of the world for doing so. And then you have probably more in the category who have ridden the wave, experienced the euphoria, experienced the crash, felt the feelings of despair and grief and whatever else comes along with it. And then to say, well, am I going to dip my toes in? Do I want to get burned twice? And so, the tech, you know, we're here for the tech. Yeah, I know that you and I predominantly we're here for the tech, and that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today. But I'm not convinced that the majority of people are in it for the tech. You know, they're not actually really paying attention, and that's good for us because while we're building in the quiet and in the shadows, eventually the tech will prevail, and you know, we'll be the benefactors of the beneficiaries of that. So
yeah, I think so too. I think it's a war of attrition at this point. You gotta stay in there and keep building. And there's those of us that believe in the space and the underlying principles and are building to build, you know, like I said, build the world that you want to live in. I mean, I like optimistically, the longer that there's, you know, these sort of tactics, or maybe the powers that be, or the centralized powers in control of the world, or institutions that don't want to see some of this stuff come to light, or maybe they're just entrenched in their ways either way and just, you know, want to dismiss it. I think optimistically, the longer that you have, you know, that it just gives us more time for the small people, small players, you know, retail, the average person, to be aware of it as an alternative, to get in there and to incubate and actually refine some of these ideas, you know, test and learn and get the stuff ready to properly scale. And I think that's what we saw beforehand, along with the euphoria kind of masking kind of some of the stuff that was just narrative without substance, and the euphoria of token go up was kind of hiding some of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There was also just some of the tech wasn't ready for prime time. You know, it just wasn't ready to scale. You had big experiments that got too big too fast, and they failed hard. You know, so like, let's have some more time where the stakes are possibly a little bit lower. There's not as much TVL or attention, and we can solve these problems on the smaller stage.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think there's what I would liken it to, you know, when I use the comparison of VR technology. So VR, for example, came out in the late 80s, early 90s, when it was first really being worked on. And even now, we're 30 years past that point, and it's starting to get some traction. And people are starting to see like the reasons and the use cases for it. Of course, AR came along as well, and AR seems to have been a much easier, seamless integration into people's regular reality and daily lives. But it doesn't mitigate or negate the fact, rather, that there is a place for VR. It just, the technology was way too early for society's desires. And so I feel the same way. I feel like there's some sort of parallel here with crypto and DeFi, and even the main narratives of last year, which were, you know, metaverse, NFT, and then, of course, crypto gaming's probably there as well. And I think, yeah, the technology is obviously working to a degree, and it's doing what it's set out to do. And it's just early, you know. It could be 10 years early. We'll find out in due time. But I think change is often generational. Big change is generational. You know, if you look at the adoption curves, you've got your early adopters, you know, your pioneers, your early adopters, and then it makes its way through to eventually the laggards, the people that are just pretty much never going to get on board. And yeah, we're becoming increasingly technologically proficient, and that's, I think, the next 10 years, there's going to be a massive gap created between the capabilities and the willingness to adopt these new tech by the younger generations, and then, you know, the dinosaurs that are currently roaming the earth. So I'm curious to see that unfold. I'm also curious to see what's going on here, because there's no one jumping into the room, and that strikes me as odd. So I'm wondering if there's something going on with the space. Or
yeah, I don't know. I just think of the same thing, and I mean, I didn't even recognize that fact, but it is, you know, a holiday or Father's Day for, I don't know if that's a worldwide thing or most of the world.
Is it? Father's Day. Oh, you know what? Yeah, okay. That must be like a Northern Hemisphere thing. Okay.
Yeah.
We are in August. Yeah. For a second, I doubted myself. I'm like, am I supposed to be messaging my dad? What's going on here?
Okay.
So yeah. You've sacrificed your Father's Day to jump on a call with me, and ideally we want to have some people to share some good news with. I'm just considering maybe it might be worth starting a new space and seeing if that changes things, because we're now probably 10 minutes in, and I'm surprised by the results. So give me 2 seconds. I'm going to shut this one down, start a new one, and we'll go from there.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, Dr. Doscoin, coming to you from the Orbital Command account today. This is a take two. We're going to see if this is a Twitter issue or if people are just checked out today and focusing on other things such as Father's Day. We did have a little bit of banter before. By we, I mean myself and Crash from YFD. And the banter was scintillating. And it was thoroughly enjoyable to be a participant in it. And so we're going to continue that conversation, and hopefully some people will show up shortly to talk further with us. I'm going to bring Crash up as a co-host here and invite, send a co-host invite. And in a moment, we should be able to hear him loud and clear. Now, the resident Twitter space recorder, that is terraspaces.org, or Finn from the jam hole, he is currently on a road trip, as far as I can tell. And so he probably won't be on the space live, but it will most likely be recorded after the fact, which I will remind him of shortly. Crash, can you hear me there, sir? You are now a co-host.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm here.
Fantastic. So let's hypothetically just assume that in the next 5 minutes, we continue down the path of having very few viewers / listeners. Would you like to do like a TLDR of the topic today? Or I'm just trying to figure out the best way to navigate this, because the whole purpose is to get the word out. And if the word's not getting out, then it defeats the purpose. But I'm also happy to learn.
Yeah, I think Ray's going to join. He had something he was taking care of that made him a little late anyway, so it kind of worked out from that perspective. So he's going to get on here, and we can just, we can go from there. We'll see.
Perfect.
I totally get people wanting to spend time with family and other things like that, but happy to talk about the project for a little bit and then maybe come back at a better time.
Yeah. Look, and I'm in the camp of, I myself have been not only not hosting spaces, but I've also not been, I log onto Twitter probably once a week at the moment, and it's really just a quick scroll down, what's happening, is there chaos, is there, you know, some sort of clarity about what's going on in the markets, and then I go about my week again. And so I'm of the opinion that that may be kind of what's happening, in saying that, you know, there are spaces that still garner thousands of views, and that's the usually topical conversations that are focused around something happening in the mainstream news. Of course, we're dealing with is much more niche than that. So if we have the conversation and people join, great. If they don't, that's okay too. We'll find another time to do it. But we do have Breezy joining us. We've got Ray joining us in a minute. Let's kick it off, my good man, Crash. We haven't had a chat for probably like 4 or 5 months, I'd imagine. When do you think it was? January-ish?
Sounds about right. Maybe February. Oh. It has been quite a while.
Okay. Well, let's do a quick debrief on what has been transpiring behind the scenes with YFD in that time. What have been some of the projects that have been worked on? Of course, we'll let this unfold and in detail as we go through. But yeah, what are some of the projects that have been worked on, some of the challenges that have been faced, and some of the overall missions that are on the horizon?
Where to begin? I mean, not to mention, you know, I mean, it kind of goes without saying, the difficult market environments, maybe not the prime time that you want to be launching a token. And I'm not even like the Y Founder token, we're not even concerned from a financialization sort of standpoint, just from the standpoint of engagement and activity, because it's definitely a utility / governance sort of function on the platform. So it has been a challenge from that standpoint, but just technical issues after technical issues. We were birthed on Terra, as you're well aware, developed it, you know, for the Terra ecosystem, ran into a situation where, you know, I still very much love Terra, love the communities. I think there's been a huge uptick, especially with DAO sort of stuff, which is super exciting. So we're excited to see Y Foundry fit into that puzzle, still launching on Terra, but looking at, ideally, when we launch in a location, we want to have all of those connections, because this is a multi-chain project. We want to have those connections to easily migrate to other chains. So not only have we been speaking with other chains about kind of planning out, you know, the next few launches, we've also made the decision to launch the primary token on Juno, and then we'll migrate over to Terra a good chunk of coins for the community to really operate there. Terra will still be where I imagine most of the activity happens, at least at the beginning. And then we'll have that as kind of the roadmap for additional tokens to go out to the rest of the cosmos is kind of the plan. Now, behind that plan, a lot of technical challenges Ray could probably go on for, you know, hours about. But I think more importantly is the kind of shift in not only mindset, but some of the focus of the code, but also kind of how we plan for the code to be used by the DAO once it's launched. Dr. Clean, who may not be able to join, he originally set out to have Y Foundry as a mechanism where anyone can come and come to the community. You could put up, if you have a good idea for financial strategy, you know, maybe it's a hedging strategy, maybe it's some sort of like a dollar cost averaging or ETF sort of strategy, some pretty complex, you know, stuff that he was able to come up with. And we actually had ready to go to launch on the Terra chain before it collapsed. You know, all those primitives are gone, you know, and not only are all those primitives gone, there's just not as much interest in the financial activity. And that includes myself. So really looking at like, what's the essence of the tools that we're building and that we're providing here? And it's really looking at how can you use smart contracts? How can you use crypto to absolve the need for the middleman, for the third party, you know? So really focused on how can you come in and maybe propose any sort of idea, maybe it's any sort of project, how can we make it more open to maybe bringing in people that normally wouldn't use crypto, but this solves a lot of problems that like traditional crowdfunding, traditional collaborating, and kind of having to trust the third party, whether that's a bank or whether that's, you know, someone you may not know. It kind of solves that, some of those challenges, with the promise of what I imagined crypto would solve when I first heard about the promise of smart contracts in Ethereum. So, just kind of focused in on that and how do we make that realization happen? So it ends up looking like, you know, we're more excited to see just kind of how these tools are out there, how people compose them, use them in different ways to collaborate with their DAO, to launch different projects, to do things that we haven't seen before, especially in this market.
Yeah, as you were talking, I've just located my old notes from when we last chatted, and it was actually in January, 21st of January, 2023. And so for anyone that is listening that is not completely familiar with Y Foundry DAO, at that point in time, you know, your tagline was, and it may still be, accelerating the cosmos with community-designed crypto projects. And ideally, the plan is to help people launch their next big idea with you. And we were having a discussion around building, you know, next generation of smart community-designed structured vaults that were specifically on Terra Money. So I'm curious to know, yeah, progress updates there and get into the weeds a little bit about the decisions to work with or on Juno.
Yeah, so you're still very much able to use the contracts as originally intended. So there's mechanisms in place. If you create, say you use Y Foundry, you bring an idea to the community, you get connected with a developer, you get connected with the community that will help you refine your idea, maybe simulate your, you know, your financial strategy or different, you know, hedging strategy, whatever that may be. And then when you launch that through the community, through Y Foundry, you have all of the mechanisms for, you know, here's how the funds, the fees can go immediately back to whoever backed a particular project. So you have 100 people that back this project, want to see this strategy happen and partner with you to do this. Then there's automatic mechanisms for that 100 people to get a portion, an equal portion of the fees back to them. They can claim using an NFT, a supporter NFT that it's like an interactive NFT that can call a claim for their portion of the fee. So all that's still there. But in addition to that, it's like, how can we, you know, reimagine some of these tools to launch an NFT project? Or maybe it's, if Ray were on here, he could talk about, you know, real world businesses maybe that have certain problems that would be able to use these tools to launch. And he mentioned it's kind of a running joke at this point, but it's a serious example. You know, turkey farmers have an issue where they have, you know, they're taking in a bunch of orders and they've got to get a bunch of funds up front. And then there's people that have these orders that go out to them eventually, and maybe that's months out. Could you use something like this to help support a turkey farm or an agave farm in Mexico? I mean, these are real conversations that we're having to possibly like use this technology for real world businesses, people that may not have ever thought about crypto, but it's like, hey, this is an option where you can use, and you can actually look on chain and you can see that the funds are in the bank. It's not some shell game of, you know, financial instruments going back and forth and money being created out of thin air. It's like you put the funds in a particular smart contract to be used for this purpose. You can go to that smart contract and see that the funds are there. They're going to be there when you need them. And they're only released to the parties that was agreed upon in releasing to, or back to the original funders if something goes wrong. So that sort of security, transparency, really feel like from a just crowdfunding perspective in the world, from a like just funding perspective, it would be interesting to see, you know, how this could come to light. And I think bringing more people into the space, again, at this point in time, that could be a good thing, and get some, you know, new people that would get kind of excited about the potential here.
Yeah, and I'm curious, and just before I bring Ray into the conversation here, I'm curious to know about what discussions have been had behind the scenes, like who's not just behind the scenes in-house, but who project-wise and founder-wise have you been chatting with lately about, you know, bringing some ideas to YFD to launch over the past, say, 5 months? And are there any ideas that are coming through that you deem to be new and exciting and original? What sort of discussions are being had behind the scenes?
Hey, Ray, thanks for joining. I butchered that was seriously not a pun intended there, but I butchered the turkey dow explanation. So I don't know if you want to give that one, or if you want to take this one within, to talk about some of the conversations we've had. And I know Dr. Dotsko had asked about the decision for Juno, you know, and kind of that decision over, you know, where we originally planned to just focus on Terra at first. Ray, are you with us? Can you speak?
Yeah, I can totally speak. I'm happy to speak. It's Father's Day here in this part of the world. So I have the empowerment of my wife and daughter. I'm happy to project that into the cosmos.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day, mate.
I didn't actually put it out there.
Yeah, no, we've talked to a lot of founders about this. It is essentially like there's so much of crypto that's being put forth that is trying to, you know, rework the tools of the game. But I think essentially it's like, in terms of the founders and in terms of the chains, like, why would we go with Juno? I think Juno has, with Jake and Dowdow, you know, and Noah and the rest, they have really good tooling to allow people to collaborate. And I think fundamentally what Y Foundry is built to do is to allow people to participate and collaborate with each other. I think we're going to do that on Terra immediately, you know, at the same time as Juno. As much as is technically possible. We are working with TFM right now to make sure that happens. But I mean, basically we're looking to build a system where you can just collaborate and you can understand the rules of the game and the rules of the interaction with each other at the get-go, at the start. And that doesn't exist in a lot of different protocols. Am I being too obtuse? or does that make sense?
I think perhaps somewhat obtuse. I'd love a little more if you can.
Yeah. So the way WiFoundry works basically is that you're incentivized. Like there's three different pieces in the game, if we want to call it that, right? And you can choose whichever piece you want. There's a piece that presents ideas. There's a piece that there's multiple pieces, but the same role that essentially execute those ideas through support initiatives, funding, and the like. And then there's a third piece that actually builds those ideas, that actually receives the funding to create those ideas. So the intention of WiFoundry is basically that people who have ideas, and this all executes, you know, off chain essentially, is that people who have ideas can communicate with people who can provide support for those ideas, and people who can actually, you know, build the ideas on chain to execute them. So I think, you know, in terms of, and maybe I'm not doing a great job of explaining this, but I think essentially WiFoundry is a way for people to have trustless escrow using blockchain, to know that they're going to get, you know, to come up with an idea, know that you're going to be able to, you know, garner support for that idea, and then also know that you're going to be able to actually fund and complete that idea based on the budget and the operational expenses that you've outlined at its instantiation. Am I still being too obtuse, or
that's much more clear. Jumping crash.
Yeah, no, I think, like, back to your point of like what conversations have been had. Ray is super active in the space, and I applaud him for it. There's just really a need right now to keep people accountable, and it's not always a malicious thing. It's and sometimes, you know, that could be seen as, you know, just outright dismissed as, oh, it's just FUD, whatever. But we've just seen time and time again, there are issues with, you know, issues with transparency, issues with, you know, hey, we have these community grants. Who's controlling the allocation of these grants? Who's deciding what is valuable and what's not? And I think having an option where the community can truly decide, if you think something's valuable, you can fund it yourself, and you're not pulling away from the value of these tokens that you want to hold long term. You know, it's a completely separate thing that you're funding this, and if it's valuable, you know, it will get funded by the community, and then the community will get they'll get the benefits from that. It's not extracted away from them, so to speak. I think, like, back to the transparency, I mean, we've just seen time and time again with even more examples. It's like, as the tides of the bull, you know, bull market kind of continue to wash out, and it just gets lower and lower, and you see more and more skeletons and, like, kind of sediment in the sand, you know, and it's just like, you think that it's not even going to, it's done, and it just keeps washing away, and there's, like, even more, and it's just, that's back to my original point that we were talking about, how useful it is just to build things that are actually solving some of these problems that were maybe masked by the euphoria of the bull market. And we can, I mean, I think that that's the biggest realization, is that there's just, it's just like confirmation, you know, week after week, that through these individual instances, through, you know, whether that be, you know, lack of transparency, or whether that be sort of like a disagreement between, like, maybe certain players in the community or the community at large, from a perception perspective, and maybe some of the administrators of, like, grants for individual chains. We're just hoping that this will be a powerful additional option and an additional like collaborative toolkit for different projects to use in different ways. And maybe they're not using the entire end-to-end flow, you know, suite of tools that YFoundry has. Maybe they're just using the escrow piece, or maybe they're just using the sort of, you know, voting and governance solutions. But regardless, you know, it's advancing the space and moving it forward in interesting ways. So I'm excited
to see
people come up with options that we haven't even thought of.
Go for it, Ray. You good?
Hey, did Ray get muted?
I'm not sure what's happening here. I think Ray has disconnected and is reconnecting. Can you hear us there, Ray? Can you hear me there, Crash?
Yep, I can hear you.
And is Ray currently talking or?
I do not hear him, so it may be one of those weird rugs. I mean,
we'll give him a minute.
If we just give him a second, or we can keep going. We've had great conversations with some of the new up and coming chains. Archway, super interesting. Seems like a great team. What they're trying to do, Andromeda, that group, and what they're trying to build. I think each of these different chains in different ways. Omniflix. We've had great conversations with and see the potential for pieces of YFoundry to be integrated with those communities and how we're handling the token launch and kind of the governance and utility and control of these is sort of a support your local foundry model. So each of these communities can essentially decide, you know, what's best and what pieces they want to kind of focus on and implement. That it kind of matches what the chain is looking for. So it's kind of like back to the promise of the Internet of Blockchains, you know, sort of premise, the app chain. You can actually, you know, integrate this stuff in a way that really makes sense for what you're trying to do.
You said a word earlier that I hadn't heard. Did you say Archway? You've been talking with Omniflix and Archway? Who's the first one? Archway. Who's that? That's new to me.
Well, that is a new up and coming chain that is. I don't know if I'm the. Oh, say Ray. Ray could probably speak more into what they're more focused on, but just some interesting builders building interesting things in Cosmos. So, yeah, excited to see what they're Yeah, well, they're really interested in talking with them. You know, they're interested in how do we advance the governance space specifically around like their own grants. So maybe this is something that could be integrated at the protocol level, you know, at the chain level for managing grants, you know, where there's some sort of maybe it's the community is actually deciding, or maybe there's some sort of like the chain grants are matching in some way the community. What the community decides, there's kind of a quadratic funding matching sort of situation. So I don't know. I don't want to speak for that team, but really, really great team. Good conversations so far. Still a little early there, but yeah, just very optimistic about those that are still in the space and still building.
Yeah, cool. Thank you for just bringing that to my awareness. I'll do a little bit of recon myself and reach out to them and see if there's something that can be discussed there. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay, so let's shift back to the impending news. So we talked about like what you guys have been doing. I know that I'm perusing the yfoundry.io site at the moment, and I recall from the last time we chatted how the bounties all worked, and I'm just looking through the contributions and seeing what sort of activity has been happening over the last few months. And so anyone that wants to check that out, they can jump onto the link. I think it was, where'd it go? yfoundry.io. And then you can select through the nav at the top. There's the link to the Medium articles. There's the community that you can join, which definitely go and check that out if you want to get a deeper dive into YFoundry. And then bounties, etc. Now, the topic of conversation today was around a token generation event. Let's do a little bit of digging here. Oh, here we go. Ray's back on as a speaker. So either of you, feel free to jump in and start filling in the gaps for me if you can.
Am I going to throw Ray cold into a situation once again? I don't know if you want to start talking about the TGE ray or any of those details, I'm happy to go over it to you if you're with us now.
Yeah. What specifically do we want to talk about? There's no liquidity. We're not in charge of it. The DAO is in charge of it. There's no intention of creating speculative liquidity for participation in the space. We are a pay to play, project. So essentially, if you want to get involved, you have to have skin in the game. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. And this is for, sorry, you go Crash.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it earlier, just kind of like the real basics. We're launching the primary, like the Genesis, I guess you could say, YFT tokens launching on Juno. And then there's going to be a healthy amount of tokens migrated over to Terra that there will be, I guess we could say at this point, there will be an airdrop based off of particular snapshots and contributors on Terra that will be available, likely using CoinHaul's Genie for that. So more details about that soon. Still working through the technical challenges of the IBC transfer, but we're optimistic that will happen very soon. And yeah,
you want to talk about IBC? What a shit show IBC is! What a joke of a protocol that is! What a garbage piece of marketing that is! Please, TFM, save us.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned Ray. You weren't on here, I don't think, when I was talking through some of the technical challenges, and I was like, if Ray were here, he would probably not mince as many words and have something more specific to say here about of the challenges.
I'd love if you could divulge a little more on that, Ray. I'm trying to gauge whether that was sarcasm or if that is genuine.
It's both. What a piece of shit IBC is. What an absolute piece of, like, it's a marketing miracle. At the same time, it's a technical disaster.
Right.
Like, literally the fact.
Well, go on. What technical disaster are you facing?
Well, we're facing the technical disaster of you cannot transfer CW20 tokens, which are most of the protocols that exist in the cosmos right now. If you're running a native token, then you can operate permissionlessly through IBC. But if you're actually, you know, utilizing some sort of advanced technical control over the functionality of the token by making it a smart contract rather than just a bank module, fungible asset, it's just a mess. Like you're seeing it, you just saw it the other week with Crow's Nest from Lum Protocol. They're a validator on Lum from France, digging into TFM over why is TFM creating all of these relayers. It's essentially a protocol that's really disorganized. I mean, there's a balance that should be had between do whatever you want and this thing functions as designed. And right now it's kind of like, hey, we built this thing, everybody have at it. And it's the infrastructure is really faulty. And we're going to find it being more faulty because, you know, just speaking on IBC. So if you send tokens over IBC between two chains and you happen to send them over one channel that is run by one operator and that operator decides that it's no longer feasible, this gets into the IBC Prop 29, which is going around right now. But if one operator decides that it's no longer feasible for them to maintain the infrastructure and they choose to shut down the infrastructure, any of those tokens that have been sent over IBC on those channels maintained by a particular operator, which is typically a relayer, which is typically a validator, those tokens no longer have a way to get back out. it's literally like a bridge gets like shut down. So if you send tokens over, you know, if you send tokens, let's just use an example between Terra and Osmosis, and there's three different operators, and some of those tokens go over operator A, some of those tokens go over operator B, and some of those tokens go over operator C. And by means of operator, I mean channels. You know, like think of it as paths in a river. You know, as ways to navigate a river. Those tokens end up on the other end of that transfer, even though they're going to the same location as we would understand it in terms of a technical sense, because Terra to Osmosis, even though they all end up on Osmosis, they actually end up as separate tokens because they transfer across different channels. Does that make sense? Oh, it's a shit show waiting to happen.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And it sounds like, yeah, I get what you're saying about the disaster piece now. And so what is, in your opinion, the solution to it?
Well, we're hoping that, you know, TFM, basically, this was the drama of the minute, right? The hot take of the last 2 weeks between Crow's Nest and TFM, where Crow's Nest was being like, why TFM are you making a mess of Relayer and IBC infrastructure? But I think the intention, and I can't speak on it, I haven't spoken to TFM specifically about this, but I think the intention is to standardize IBC relayers, because essentially what's going to happen is if there was an LP pool over an old relayer, and that relayer decides, because there were, you know, you don't pay a fee to relay tokens over IBC, which is what, there's a new proposal in place to start extracting value from IBC transfers. But if you send tokens over IBC right now, there's no fee being taken. So people, and this is just a fucked up thing, and I'll just say that blatantly, but it's fucked up to build infrastructure and have no means implemented in it to extract the actual ability for the people who maintain that infrastructure to pay for the cost of the infrastructure. And that's where IBC is right now. It's like fantasy socialist communist, like, oh, we just do it for the good of the ecosystem. But the reality is it costs money to run validators, to run relayers, to move tokens between chains. And so up until now, I believe IBC, there's a proposal called proposal number 29, I think it is, that's going to actually start applying fees to this stuff so that people who relay can actually extract some sort of, you know, reparations for the cost of actually maintaining the infrastructure. But to your point, we've basically built an infrastructure that nobody has any obligation to maintain because nobody's paying for it. So what happens when you build infrastructure that nobody pays for? Well, at a certain point, when people actually start building, operating other infrastructure in a more organized fashion and demanding pay for it, the people who were doing it for free quit doing it. So we're going to have a bunch of tokens trapped across multiple chains that have no, you know, have no back channel once these things expire to get back and get back to their native tokens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's very illuminating, actually. And I'm just figuring out now how important it is to have had this stuff, I guess, thought out in advance and implemented much earlier to save running into this in the first place. Yes, hindsight's always 2020. Yeah, I'm not sure what to say. I'm just sort of, personally, I'm like, okay, do I need to sell some of my tokens off and, you know, take profit there.
It's just the difference between kind of back what we originally talked about, you know, the narrative that you kind of spin and the promise of some of this technology and the current state of where it's at. You know, like we got to be building things and testing it out and improving on it now before we get out over our skis if the bull market comes back, because there's a lot of this stuff that's just not ready for prime time. And Ray gives that example, which is a great one. I wouldn't say that that's the only one, Ray. It seems like there's been time after time, there's things that just don't seem to work out as advertised and have to be worked around. So it's a little frustrating when you plan on that infrastructure being there in certain ways, whether that's wallet kind of integrations, connections, or whether that's IBC or whatever. It's or the chain coming up for days, maybe, or just, you know, it kind of being all over the place, depending on
what you're on. Well, I think the incentive before was right. Like, if we just incentivize people to run validators and then we apply all these other technologies to the validator, to the infrastructure, right? If we're incentivizing the validators, then we'll kind of like nudge the validators to operate all this other infrastructure at no cost. And the reality is that doesn't work, because these things aren't reliant. I mean, I'll literally be honest with you. I've had a sufficient amount to drink. It's Father's Day. And I'll just say the people who are operating all of this infrastructure have no competency in business. Like, they don't understand that, like, look, you can't just bro handshake your way through building out infrastructure. You can't give people like an incentive through inflation to operate validators, which is essentially what tokenomics do on most chains, right? It's like you just inflate your way to paying validators to operate, to operate security for your chain by giving them inflationary tokenomics, and then keep adding other, you know, technical requirements on top of just validating and operating a validator, a Gaia node on the chain. It doesn't work that way. And so we're seeing like these other pieces through relayers and IBC and whatnot, which were stacked on top of validators, but were not given their own individual compensation for the efforts and technical requirements, you know, needed. They're not interlocked. Like, you can run a validator that has nothing to do, I'm sorry, you can run a relayer for IBC that has nothing to do with validators. Mm-hmm. But because of the way the infrastructure has been built, it's like, oh, we're all friends here. So, hey, bro, I know you're running a validator. Could you just spin up some IBC infrastructure at the same time? And these guys are all interplaying in this, but there's no compensation individually for these efforts. And so now we're at a point where IBC infrastructure is critical to the communication in the cosmos, but there's no actual compensation for operating IBC. And so now you're going to get this like bidding war back and forth, because, oh, you want me to run infrastructure for IBC? Well, now it's this whole separate tier of technical competency.
Yeah, this is a pretty crucial conversation to be having.
With five people. I'm just joking, man, but
No, I'm with you. It's like, this is, I kind of said this to Crash earlier. I'm like, people, are they in it for the tech or are they in it for the hype? And unfortunately, I think the majority of people are in it for the hype, and the tech is actually what's important for even driving, you know, creating what would be sustainable hype. Long term, because what we're talking about here, the great issue here is sustainability. You know, and there are certain issues at the protocol level which make it, or that impact the viability of this being sustainable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I personally got interested in Cosmos because of the whole Internet of Blockchains and the app chain thesis. You know, it made sense to me for certain applications that, like, hey, this would be a good option for a lot of different projects. You saw what happened with Ethereum back when you had, you know, cat games and like huge NFT projects that would crash, you know, the entire whole system of what's going on, you know. It's just like, why do those two things need to be so entangled and reliant on each other? Maybe a layer two solution would work, or, you know, makes sense, or maybe even better, you have different, you know, kind of interrelated and chains that could work together that could be focused and scaled exactly to what they need and not necessarily have to take on every single sort of random project that that could potentially build there. Some of them could be permissioned, some could be permissionless, some could be some mix, you know. I mean, that was the promise of this whole like Cosmos ecosystem as an alternative to what everyone else was doing. And it is a little disheartening to see, especially when you've dedicated so much time to a multi-chain project like ours that could benefit different ecosystems or different protocols or in different chains, and that the whole infrastructure and those connections, it was a lot of narrative, you know, it's not ready for what it was kind of pitched to be ready for.
Yeah, there's a real, I'm sensing a real irony here where essentially the Cosmos has been created to be, you know, the place of interoperability. And as a consequence of that, you know, this interconnectedness, it's actually quite fractured. And there's a lot of, what would I say, like allegiance to individual app chains. And it may, I feel like there's, even though the underlying tech is to make it interconnected, there's like, by doing so, it's spreading and diluting and dispersing attention and use into like these not siloed because they're still connected, but like into these individual chains. And so I'm sort of like, yeah, does that grow exponentially as more chains are added? Does that grow exponentially as more apps are added on top of those chains? Does that grow exponentially if the underlying protocol problems aren't solved and that cohesion and convergence of like the channels working properly with each other, so that things, you know, there are the fail safes in place and it's not reliant upon one or three operators or channels to, you know, for pools to exist and tokens to be transferred? Like, is that what we're going to be coming up against in future as the ecosystem grows?
Yeah.
To support what you're saying, doctor, are you a real doctor? But in case.
Absolutely not.
But to support what you're saying is literally making Mad Max world. Literally, like, it is, if you send assets via a carrier, it's literally like, let's say we can use FedEx and UPS, right? They're two pretty well known, or DHL. So we can use three. DHL has their own channel. FedEx has their own channel. UPS has their own channel. When your assets get sent from chain A through UPS, they end up on chain B as a UPS asset. And if you send the same asset through FedEx, it shows up as a different asset on chain B on the same chain. So you're literally creating these corporate wars. You're building a system that is basically going to be, somebody's going to come in and monopolize it, right? Because somebody's going to come in and homogenize the network. Because right now there's no cohesion. Because there's no pay. People aren't being paid to transfer these tokens. So if you understand what I'm saying, basically, if you send tokens over IBC through three different relayers, providers, validators, whatever, they will end up on the recipient chain as three different assets. And that is a mess.
Yeah,
and how this was even... Why was this designed this way? This is marketing versus technical. And when we actually learned how the technical part of it works, it's a mess. And I'm not trying to make drama here. It's just, I don't know how this passed. Like, somebody said, yeah, go ahead and move forward with this idea. Because it really operates in a narrative of like, well, it's that libertarian mindset you keep hearing Sunny and so many people talk about, where, you know, we're just like free range capitalists and we don't want to interrupt anybody's ability to move and whatever. But but you're creating shipping lanes that basically make the product that comes out the other end owned by the people who ship it. And that is going to create a complete disaster for any sort of scalability.
Yeah, look, great points. You've brought something to my attention that was not there 20 minutes ago, half an hour ago. So some food for thought. I am curious to know, like, do you see anything better? Like, we asked a question before about, like, what's the solution, but do you actually see anything that's better or has examples that could be, you know, borrowed?
I don't know. It's complicated in the sense that you're going to have to have an actual trustless autonomous situation. And really what Cosmos has been building is a mercenary capital situation where now people can hijack the ownership of tokens. So do I see a situation that's better? I see a situation that's better in the sense that that chains collaborate and decide on infrastructure providers. There's just going to have to be a way to demonetize but compensate infrastructure providers, because you can't have competing solutions, but you need to have efficient solutions for transfer over IBC. But competing solutions doesn't work, because once you start moving over multiple channels, you're kind of fucked. So you're going to have to pick and choose winners and losers, but it should be done in such a way that it's not a business that somebody can be, you know, can feed their kids and live off of. It needs to be something that's a secondary auxiliary utility to secondary to another operation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's definitely flaws from, well, let's just say proof of stake networks. There's a...
Let me just say one other thing. The fact that we're still having this conversation when IBC has been out for 2 years is a fact that there's a piss poor level of education in IBC.
Mm. Yep, valid. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look,
I'm bullish on the builders in this space. I'm bullish on what some of the chains are doing, and maybe there's some like retooling, and there's a possibility for, you know, this thing to essentially get rebooted in the right way and built a little bit from the ground up with some of this connectedness. Or maybe it's someone building off of this technology and just making more solitary products that don't necessarily need to connect to the other, you know, the rest of the Cosmos, which is a shame, but maybe there's some success there. And it's more about the tools that are available in the builder community. But every chain, you know, I mean, like other ecosystems, they have their challenges too. You know, we're building here, so we see these a lot closer, I think.
Yeah, I've got a question actually for both of you guys, which is around like usage of the network overall. So I haven't actually been looking at the stats a great deal myself, but the way reward systems are set up is like, you know, you're paying real world dollars to run the infrastructure and as a validator, and you know, it's in the hope that what you're earning through rewards, which are essentially, you know, inflationary rewards and network fees. It's like, what is going to happen if when the bounce back or the uptake doesn't occur? So like, you know, there needs to be traffic coming through. I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are on the state of traffic overall use in the Cosmos ecosystem is. Because it's like, to me, it seems on the surface, and again, I've not been paying too much attention. I've been doing other IRL things, but it seems like the usage overall has waned significantly. And comparatively to the, you know, some of the bigger chains, it's actually never been that big. So I'm just curious to know your thoughts on that.
Crash, if you want to go first, I have my thoughts, but I'm a doomer, so.
I mean, I think back to the just being early, the optimistic side of it before Ray gives the doomer side of it, because he's more well-versed on the actual numbers. It's just that I think we were early for some of these technologies to scale. They scaled and there were some issues, and this is paring back, and I think this may be a clear picture of like the reality of just where we are at this moment in time. And optimistically, we build things that people actually want to use and maybe even community fund. Like if the community wants to see it, they can fund it and actually build it and don't have to rely on, you know, some centralized entity giving them permission to do it. Then we'll start to see what people actually want to see and a real measure of the sort of traffic that, you know, hopefully will start to pick up, you know, with new users coming in and with eventually money coming in too. That's the optimistic side.
Okay. And the doomer side?
There's nobody fucking using Cosmos. It's a big joke. It's a big exit liquidity scheme by Ethan, Zaki, and the rest of them. And this is a recorded space, and I don't give a shit. But literally, if you listen to Zaki's Ko-Fi thing, it's Keynesian economics. He thinks there's a man, magic man behind the lever that can control the economy. It's a big joke. Nobody wants to buy into this thing. That's the reason Noble and DXDY are doing their own shit and not tagging themselves and attaching themselves to Cosmos. Cosmos needs utility. I you look at every single chain and you look at their transactions per minute, you look at their transactions over the life of the chain, they're basically going to zero. There's no need for 60 chains. App chain thesis is dead. There's no utility in creating 60 chains unless you have an ecosystem. And I'm not saying it doesn't work. There's just not enough cash. Liquid stakes. Go ahead.
You go. Please finish your thought.
No. I mean, that's it. There's just not enough cash to make this thing work.
Because my follow-up question for you is, if that's where you're at and that's how you feel about it, what is keeping you? Is this like a sunk cost fallacy? What's keeping you involved in, you know, building?
Well, because I think, and I'm going to say this while I'm making a drink. Thank you, Recorded Space. Essentially, I don't think Y Foundry needs crypto Cosmos capital. I don't think that's the intention of the platform. It doesn't matter. I believe that we can operate within an ecosystem because we're not tied to the ecosystem. It's kind of like, can you operate a corner store, you know, regardless of how the government is corrupted? I think you can, right? So if we can build an ecosystem that can exchange value between individuals that choose to participate on a voluntary basis, I think it's functional. But in terms of the global, you know, Cosmos mantra and intention, I think it's dysfunctional. I think it's broken. And I think people are extremely high on their own supply on the whole deal.
I'd be curious too. So what I'll do in a second is I'll check back and just make sure that we're covering all the things that we wanted to cover today that are specific to YFD. And then I also, in the next sort of 10 minutes, would love to just see if anyone else that's listening would like to weigh in just on what they've heard so far. If there's any, I'm just trying to gauge the sentiment and figure out where people are at and how they feel about the state of Cosmos, obviously the state of crypto. We spoke, Crash and I spoke about at the very start, being kind of boring at the moment. And that's, you know, I'm not telling anyone news that they don't already know, but I'm curious to know specifically from what you've heard today. One, have you learned something about, you know, some of the potential flaws that are at the protocol level? And two, how do you feel about the state of Cosmos overall? So that invitation's there. I can see, you know, we've got some smart people in the call, Madman and Finn, and I can see a couple other names that look familiar to me here. So if you guys are curious to weigh in, get your questions ready. In the meantime, Crash, is there anything that we've not yet covered or anything that you just want to double over for a second you know, double down on and just make sure it has been conveyed about YFD specifically?
No, I mean, I think just the high level details, the TGE the token, we worked to make that available. It's going to be, I believe, was it 12 a.m. Eastern time on the Juno chain, Ray? If you can keep me honest there, essentially tomorrow. So that'll be there. We're working on, Ray's already talked about some of the IBC challenges with getting it over the Terra, but we hope to have that happening very soon. We'll have the front-end UI. We'll have the locking mechanism so you can see how that attributes governance power to for you to be able to use the platform, whether that's proposing ideas, whether that's voting or funding different other individuals' ideas. So yeah, essentially going to have a rolling launch on this so that we can test this out as we go and get it out there. We had quite a bit of a chicken and the egg sort of problem with some of these issues where you can't properly test this stuff until you actually get the token out there and try to use it. You know, you can do as much as you can on testnet, but it's just not the same as going live. So essentially going to put this out there and start to get the community, other communities involved, whoever's around to do the testing, help us out with you know, each of these features as they get released out there, and then just continuing to go through that. So definitely, you know, plan to have a lot of activity on Terra, like we talked about. There's, you know, a lot of activity with the Enterprise DAO. We're excited to partner with that group, excited to partner with, you know, those working on DAO DAO on Juno. I think these are the two best homes for us to launch on. So very excited about that. And yeah, Ray, is there anything else we critically want to talk about?
Oh, so much more. I'm full of beans, as they would say. I had my nap, so yeah, I agree with everything Crash is saying. You know, this is a soft launch. The way you get to participate in Y Foundry is because the DAO decides you get to participate in Y Foundry. That's not us. We're here as contributors. We're not here as representatives of an organization. You know, essentially. The entire platform, the way I wanted to just exacerbate or explain or elaborate, I guess probably the right word, on, I'm sounding like Ethan now, on how the token works if the wind isn't blowing too hard into my microphone, is basically every chain deployment. So Terra chain deployment is its own sovereign organization. We do not want, you know, you take the Osmosis and Sunny mantra of no kings, no rulers, all that shit. And we're just saying, you know, with us, with Y Foundry, every chain is its own sovereign organization. The Terra chain deployment is its own sovereign organization. It does not owe anyone else anything. Everything the Terra chain deployment of Y Foundry does is owned and operated by the Terra chain deployment of Y Foundry. Every chain after that.
Did you just get cut off, or was that just an abrupt ending to a sentence?
Oh, I think I tapped my own microphone, sorry. But but yeah, Kujira, Say, Juno, everybody, they're their own sovereign entities. Like literally the tokens. The way we built the system, which is what has been the pain in the ass with IBC, is when you move tokens, when you engage in a deployment of Y Foundry, you have to burn your centralized tokens for a localized version of the tokens that participate in governance. It is a one-way trip. It is, you are committed to the ecosystem that you are burning tokens into, and the resources that are gained through the efforts of that ecosystem are maintained and owned by that ecosystem. That right. Does not exist. In, yeah. This is the colonialism flipped on its head.
Yeah. So just to be clear here, let's just hypothetically say for a second, there's 100,000, you know, YFD tokens, you know, centralized YFD tokens. I'm using parentheses here, but let's say 60% of those tokens end up going to Terra. You know, they're essentially, the centralized ones are burnt. 60% of them, or 60,000 tokens, go to Terra, and 40,000 go to Juno. That's it. That's how it stays.
Yeah. Somebody will have to manually create liquidity through through IBC, which is a pain in the ass, to exchange those tokens.
Yeah.
So
what that does is it really, like I was saying earlier, you could have these individual, like, local foundries that are committed and building things and focused on things that chain cares about. And there's no weird value extraction from, like, all of these chains back to a mother chain, or extracting back to some centralized entity or one
chain. The fatherland.
Authority over other chains. It's really, like, looking at how much does this need to scale to be effective on a particular chain. I think the other thing I'm excited about is you could, like, totally could do smaller instances of LifeFoundry for smaller chains, and it'd be completely fine. You know, it will all work out for the betterment of each of the chains. Because if you think about from Juno's perspective, it's giving, everyone loves a good token burn. That's essentially what's going on here, is you're burning tokens to take them somewhere else to kind of seed these new foundries. So I think from that standpoint, whoever remains will be accumulating more kind of authority, governance, power. If they choose to stay in Juno, it's actually good for them. You know, it could be seen as a good thing, as well as proliferating, you know, the technology and having more options for where these tokens go.
So I'm just trying to wrap my head around one thing here for a second. So with the YFT tokens, well, actually, before I ask that question, the first question is, what's the actual utility of the token? Is it specifically like a governance token? Like, what is the use case?
So I'll blow your mind a little bit in this, because I will be the extremist. I will be the radical and say, fuck the oracles, fuck speculation, in the sense of that the YFoundry token's value is strictly governance. It's strictly one-to-one governance. It doesn't matter what the value of the token is on a dollar value. It's strictly one-to-one governance. And in terms of funding, it has a variable value for funding. And that variable value is determined by the DAOs themselves on every chain. So if a chain only has 10,000 tokens, but they, for some reason, have a miracle project that they think they need $100,000 worth of funding for, I'm just saying $10,000 worth of valuation internally, they can modify the value of the token for funding purposes to give it the value that will allow people to contribute a sufficient amount of other tokens to match, the value required for funding. Does that make sense?
Well, we kind of skipped over it, but maybe this little bit will help.
Go ahead.
So, yes, it's governance on the platform, but anything that you want to do on the platform, you're locking tokens to be able to do. So if you want to propose things, you have tokens locked in there, and that's a governance proposal, you know, essentially, to be able to do that. If you want to fund things, you have those tokens locked, and that determines how much you're able to fund. So it's essentially your sort of influence within the DAO, within that community.
Okay. And there's a piece there that I feel like I'm just not quite grasping. So with the, theoretically, if there are, let's say you've got Terra YFD and you've got Juno YFD, and you were talking, Ray was saying a second ago about the value being determined to decide what the voting weight is or something to that effect. Who is determining the value, and how are they determining the value?
The individual DAOs.
The DAOs.
Terra determines their own value, and Juno determines their own value, and every deployment determines their own value.
It's been built where almost everything is parameterized. So the governance, the DAO can call a vote and change all of the features of the smart contracts and whatever they need for that individual chain. So that's essentially what Ray's talking about. So how much, so one YFD, let's just say, one YFD is worth whatever from a funding perspective on one chain. they can make that double or triple that on another chain if they want to allow someone to fund more with less liability locked from their so-called like governance influence, if that makes sense.
So what does that mean, that makes it impossible for there to be like a natural market for the like the price action of the token? Because I was originally imagining that, you know, you
hope so. Wife.
Right.
I mean, what Ray said, it's going to be a pain in the ass from that perspective, because if you want to get the token back, you essentially have to have an LP pool. They're different tokens. Like, they're going to be different tokens for different communities, and could be. I could see there being like local foundries on different chains that look completely different, like focused on completely different things. Like, I imagine, like maybe on Stargaze, it's all using this to, you know, tools for funding NFT collections and in a more community, you know, centric, like a getting advanced funding for NFT collections and kind of the security measures to prevent you from being rugged because of the transparency of the funds and where they're going, and locking in NFT collection roadmaps and milestones on chain. Like, maybe that's what that's focused about, and they don't want to use any of the other features, you know, and that's fine. Maybe it looks completely different for whatever local chain it's on. So really interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah, my thoughts are around, so if it plays out the way that you're hoping it does, and it is, the value is determined by the DAO, and there isn't like a free market element to it, what, other than, you know, being a tech inclined person and someone who's like really community focused, who wants to actually be actively engaged in governance, what incentive would there be for people to hold the token? So if they, yeah, I'm trying to make sense of that.
Exactly. The incentive to hold the token is to actually participate in moving proposals through the system.
Okay.
That is the incentive. So if you have no interest in funding proposals yourself, you really have no interest in holding the token. But if you have interest in profit sharing with the proposals that are getting passed through a particular chain's governance, then you have an interest in holding the token. But essentially the game is that there is no incentive for speculation, and there is no liquidity for speculation. The incentive is to get into an ecosystem. If there's a lot of hot, and if it's NFT time, right? Mm-hmm. If NFTs are hot, then you're probably going to want to put some tokens into Stargaze version of Y Foundry so that you can get access to whitelists of NFTs. But you're not going to want to just buy tokens to sit on them to turn them over. It doesn't make sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You have a surplus of tokens. Maybe you want to hold on to those because there's another chain that's going to implement YFT and you can migrate those at that point. But at a certain point, we're hoping that the utility of the token matches the actual value to the people that want to use it, which is something, it's kind of sad, but I think it's kind of novel with kind of what we've seen and where we're at.
Well, we can get a little deeper into that and say, like, we're really like, this is phase one of building a reputation system. And we have to have a gatekeeping mechanism. We have to have a system, because you can't just let people like attack, you know, governance willy-nilly. You have to have some skin in the game in some sense, or some validation of their participation. And so the token at this point is a validation of some sort of engagement. Somebody's had to check them at the door for people to get tokens, because there is no liquidity. So somebody's had to say, yeah, whoever asked for these tokens and got these tokens, there's something they there's some level of engagement. It isn't just a random wallet, right? So we're really looking at saying, hey, we're trying to build a reputation system to build up good actors in the system, people who are actually, interested in doing what the system's designed to do. And unfortunately, we're at a point where fungible tokens are the lowest hanging fruit in getting to building that ecosystem.
Roger that.
Maybe in the future, that looks like some other mechanisms of reputation. Maybe that's reputational NFTs. Maybe it's on-chain data. Maybe it's a mix of everything in addition to the token. I think there's lots of potential for this to continue to evolve as there's more primitives from that standpoint.
But I will say, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Doctor, again, the fact that we're having this conversation means this is interesting. And that's valuable.
Correct. Yeah. I've certainly been interested. Yeah, I love getting to know the mechanics a little more intimately. And so thank you for clearing a few things up. I was just finding, as you were talking then, I was going through a few scenarios in my mind about, okay, so there'd be liquidity pools in future, but it's like there wouldn't be actually, theoretically, there wouldn't be fluctuations in the pools because the prices would be fixed, yeah?
Yeah, the prices would be determined by the individual chains.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anybody involved in the project.
Right. And so tomorrow,
Fusion,
are you going?
So, well, what's the Fusion on Kujira is the one-sided OTC, and then there's the what's the one on Osmosis that Omniflix used? What did Omniflix use to launch their tokens?
I'm drawing a blank, but I know what you're talking about.
Swift Swap or Smart Swap or something. I don't remember the name of it. But yeah, there's no two-way, there's no real good measure of value.
Okay. So for people that want to get some YFD tokens tomorrow, whereabouts are they going? Where are they doing this?
Well, we're all throwing each other under the bus on this. I would say go to work.yfoundry.io and figure out what's available for people to do. And then the DAO will essentially determine the workflow. That's they will determine the demand that's needed and run a bounty board, basically offering YFoundry tokens to people who contribute to the platform. I think DAODAO does something similar, where the only way you can get DAODAO tokens is actually if you actually do work for DAODAO, right?
Yeah, I think so. So that's essentially the idea. We're not in control of those tokens, by the way. I mean, we can obviously, like, we've, you know, helped to build it a certain way and have ideas, you know, with regard, like we said, at the bounty board and all of this. But the thought is, like, you go in and you contribute in some way. Or maybe you go in, and if you have a good enough idea, then maybe the community wants to give you the tokens to be able to propose that idea. Or maybe you're building a coalition with people that have tokens. That's really just, we'll see how it pans out. But the thought is, you go in, you do work for the DAO, and then the DAO can make the decision on, you know, giving those tokens out. They have the majority of them.
Right. And in what way, and how is the token distribution proportional to the contribution? So obviously people, the incentive here is go on, do the bounties, do the work. What's determining the number of tokens distributed to contributors?
Hey, real quick, sorry to interrupt. Stream Swap is what you're trying to think of.
Thank you, Finn. Good. Stream Swap.
Then to the rest.
How did you get up here?
GM fam.
You made me co-host, and you said people could come up with questions. So
oh, yeah, awesome. I'm glad you're paying attention.
I guess, hey, do I have to ask a question? I got a question, too. What's up with
you,
the share spaces, YFD vault? Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's on. It's on. Yeah, you got to propose it.
I don't have any tokens.
Yeah, you're talking to people in the space, just so you're aware that they have no tokens, and thanks to the SEC, we'll never have tokens.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a huge proponent of testnet. You know what I always say, testnet is the best net. And
we've been on testnet since November of 2022.
I know, that's why Turkey DAO is the best project, yo.
You missed
it.
I've been sort of a little bit hands off in this space for the last couple of months, and the amount of new words I'm hearing today, turkey dow and bloody all these things, I'm just like, what has been happening? It's like I've lost years.
It's so funny. You miss so much and so little all at the same time.
Yeah, we went from railing on IBC to YFD. But I think this is an opportunity for the community to take control of funding, because let's be honest, community pools are not community pools. They're really not. They are a way to abdicate ownership of a massive amount of tokens from the founders while still being able to play around with those tokens. So like, we can just do away with community pools. I mean, name me another crypto ecosystem other than...
I mean...
Well, wait, Finn.
Let's wait.
Name me another crypto ecosystem other than Cosmos that has community pools.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about you dissolving community pools before my year's up and I need to ask for another grant from the community pool.
Yeah, well, you got your own thing going. This is it. Welcome to Finn, the leech of the community pool. I'm just giving you shit, man. But I mean, it's a good point.
I held it down. I held it to 50 cents. Fuck you. All right. I'm sorry.
I know. Sorry. And you know, and SVC and all these other people that got these community grants that held it all the way down. It's not right. We don't need to do this. It's a joke. It's not a community pool. We don't need it. And we can fund our own incentives as a community, as the actual people engaged, rather than going to the validators. And I think personally, I will say, because I'm not going to martyr myself, but I will say that the validators do not need to be in charge of all this stuff. That's not their responsibility. So let's get like the ecosystem getting built without the validators getting involved. They should be dealing with the technical aspects of it and not the economic aspects of it.
Plenty of thought-provoking material here today. Very enjoyable conversation. For everyone that's listening and enjoyed it, go and check out Why Foundry DAO. You can click on either Crash or Raise PFPs there, and you'll be able to get a link through to the Why Foundry Twitter, and also from there you'll be able to get to the Y Foundry work page where you can submit bounties and get in there with your shot of getting some YFD tokens. In the meantime, are there any other things that you'd like me to point people in the direction of, Ray or Crash?
Well, I think because I can keep talking, so I'll open a space after this if anybody's interested in continuing this conversation. We'll just co-opt Orbital's clout. But you know, I think what we're looking, what the intention of this is to do, and what hasn't been done, is like, literally we're talking about direct democracy. And there's a huge push in Cosmos for direct democracy being valuable. People spending their own money to build things is the most efficacious implementation of direct democracy that has ever existed in crypto. There's juice box on Ethereum. There's dhedge on Polygon, which is again Ethereum basically. But in Cosmos, we need a platform that allows people to directly influence what gets built. And I think Y Foundry, like, I have no predictions on what will get built on it, but having a platform that allows people to build things as community members, I think, is the most valuable, you know, valuable way to actually understand what the community wants to do.
Yeah. If you want to see something, you fund it, you get to participate in the value and the success of that thing without it being extracted away. And you don't need to fund that off the backs of retail that wants to hold the token, believers in a token that, you know, maybe it's getting sold to fund something that you didn't really sign up for and you just wanted to participate with, you know, the protocol or the chain. So I think it's all about options and you being able to fund this and also have a say. Like, that's another thing we haven't dug completely into, but you're going to have a say of the governance of that particular idea. Like, you're making the decisions proportionally based on how much you fund it. So there's going to be on-chain milestones that come up. It's on-chain voting. It's all on-chain? So you can actually see what's all going on. And, you know, there's no back door or man behind the curtain.
To support Crash on that, and I'm sorry, we're jumping the gun, and I'll just keep piling onto this since we keep having more people join the room, is that basically if you fund a proposal on Y Foundry, you are the people who vote to release your own funds in proportion to the amount of funds you provided. We haven't even talked about like how functionally this works. That is mind blowing. It literally, like, a proposal goes up and says, hey, I want $20,000 to do X. People put forward $20,000, the proposal passes. And those people who put up $20,000, they vote in proportion to the amount of the $20,000 they put up to give those funds to the project on the milestones determined by the proposal. So it isn't a blank check. There's no more blank checks with Y Foundry.
That's a great tagline. Gentlemen, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. If you want to continue this, Ray, feel free to set up a space and continue chatting with the people. I have some IRL tasks that I need to tend to, and I greatly appreciate the education that I've received, and hopefully the people that are listening have also received a great education and are grateful for that too. Enjoy your conversation as it unfolds, and let's organize but perhaps not in 5 months' time. Like, maybe we can do it a little sooner this time. We'll do a follow up and see how everything's going in the coming months.
In crypto time, it's 1 month or 2 months, but you can't run it out. I really appreciate you for listening. You've been like one of the best hosts, not interjecting and dragging the conversation around. So I really appreciate you, Dr. Doscoin. And is it Dr. Doscoin or Doscoin?
Doscoin.
Yeah, I really appreciate your invitation and your management of the space.
Love your work. Appreciate you both. Go and have an excellent day, evening, afternoon, wherever you are. Hope life is treating you kindly, and we'll be chatting again soon. Ta-ta.
Thanks a lot.
Nice.
I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad, and these mugs out here robbing, you gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100, I'm just building abundance of some of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty, you ain't no man. I keep Robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology, there's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried, imagine the smell. That shit is a vital experience, without no and how you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaceship of life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen, I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little laugh, man. Go on, fuck off, man. Go on, fuck off. Harmony. No, no, the wonder you're looking for a fucking job. You fucking idiot. You've just been fucking up with this. Fuck off.
Try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsored lobotomy. Feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosting this pottery. Chill, Demi. Boy, the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't, ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle. Airdropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up on the truth. Because I'm not figured all those sub-dows would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Mole, they shipping more than Five Guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash loans bang, they're feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers. We got layers, meteor, jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters. We rapping a lot of pay dirt. Maxing out relayers. Imagine the smell. $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
is really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live, and we're going to their house. We're going with a wrench, a big wrench, and we will attack them with the wrench. And then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right. So this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to Lung in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench, and they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it. But if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard, and then they say, stop, don't do that again. And we say, that's okay, just give us your validator node, and then they give it to us, and we drive it to China.
China Spaces.